Good day and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. We talk all the time about the ways that Detroit neighborhoods often seem to get overlooked. You hear lots about what's happening in Midtown or downtown or some neighborhoods like Corktown, but the majority of Detroit residents don't live in those places. They live in other spaces that often suffer quite a bit of neglect and where decisions about their futures are often made in a way that seems dismissive of residents' input. But there's one project taking shape in Detroit that is coming to neighborhoods all over the city, the Joe Louis Greenway, which is beautifying, quote, 27 and a half miles of the most blighted and neglected land in the city. That's according to Mayor Mike Duggan. And that infrastructure project could have other positive outcomes for residents all over the city, which seems really important these days as the effects of climate change create more devastation and frustration for Detroit residents. But there's also real questions about the Greenway. Who will it benefit? Will there be neighborhoods that don't like the things that it brings to them? That's where we want to begin the conversation today. We've got a great guest with us to help think through what the Joe Louis Greenway means to Detroiters. Rakia Colvin is an urban planning graduate student at Wayne State University and an environmental journalism fellow at Planet Detroit. She's the author of the piece that was titled, "The Joe Louis Greenway Could Transform Detroit. What About the Neighborhoods Around It?" And that was published in Detour Detroit last month. Rakia Colvin, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Mm-hmm. So let's start here. What is the Joe Louis Greenway? I feel like that word or that phrase is becoming more common to hear around here in Detroit, but I'm not sure that most people really know what it is and how it will change the city. So let's start there.
Yeah, so it's going to be an extension of what has already been built for the Greenway. So you think about the Dequindre Cut area, the walk along the Riverwalk. The idea is for that project to extend throughout neighborhoods, connecting from downtown, throughout the west side of the neighborhood, through the mid area, to the east and back to downtown. So it should be a continuous loop by the time it's finished. And the idea, or at least what I read from it, is that it's going to be this green space. It's going to have recreational amenities for those in the area or for visitors, a bike pathway as well. And yeah, that's the gist of it. And there's a proposed security aspect of it. Like, mm-hmm. they're going to be including cameras and things everywhere. So that's another.
So one way, I think one way to think of this is that it is an effort to kind of connect many of the green spaces that already exist in the city so that you can get from one to the next without, I guess, you know, driving a car or walking through residential or commercial areas. It's kind of an extensive network, I guess, or connecting the extensive network of parks and green spaces in the city. But is that an accurate description?
Yeah, that's the idea of it. And when you think of it that way, I'm really curious to see how it turns out, because I do think that it is important to have connecting greenway spaces in urban areas like Detroit, but also we have all these other existing green spaces. So I'm really curious to see how this major project kind of extends out to these other open space areas that already exist in the city that are under kept.
And so where would Detroiters right now see this taking shape? You try to emphasize that neighborhoods that often don't get attention are becoming part of this greenway and that they're going to be affected by it. But if you're just somebody who lives here, where would you go to see what's actually taking shape?
Yeah, Well, right now the city, they have on their website where you can look into the updates. And I don't have that link handy right now, but I'm sure if you go to DetroitMichigan.gov and search for Joe Louis Greenway, you can find updates. But I mean, this is something you just kind of have to know, or it has to be told to you. I feel like many Detroiters may not know about this project or don't care because it doesn't, they feel like it may not affect them in a beneficial way because there's so many other things that's been overlooked in our neighborhoods that need investment into, or people just don't have the internet to look into these things. So where do they get those updates? But it is available on their site.
So in your reporting, you focus on a certain part of Detroit, and you talk about the needs of that area of the city with respect to the things that are going to happen in the Greenway. Tell us about that part of Detroit. It's kind of a Midwest part of the city.
Yeah, so today the neighborhood is called the Midwest neighborhood, but historically it's known as the Old West Side, and it holds some historical value when you think about the Macarena Club and the Bluebird Inn that's over there. Just like Paradise Valley and Black Bottom, this area of the city, it was a very prominent neighborhood for Black folks who came here from the South to work in auto factories, and many of them lived in this area. So what you have today is a lot of legacy Detroiters who have been in their home for years, whether it was passed down to them from their grandparents or their parents, and they live in this area, but you also have this neighborhood surrounded by a lot of divested and neglected blocks of just vacant land or abandoned houses and just lack of daily resources like grocery stores, parks, schools, things of that nature. And through one of the classes that I took through my urban planning program, I found out that this is the only neighborhood in the city without a neighborhood plan. You know, we have the strategic neighborhood fund neighborhoods that are, you know, proposed to be invested in or has already been invested into. But this area of the city is the only one without a neighborhood plan. It still is. But from what I learned through writing the story is that a neighborhood plan for this area is now in the works.
And what's the effect of the Joe Louis Greenway on this part of the city?
Well, at least what I learned from the residents in the area is that the effect is that it will bring more opportunity into the neighborhood. They have folks over in the area who are who have been working with city officials to help, I guess, mediate some of the issues they've dealt with business owners in the area who partake in a lot of illegal dumping or just activity as it relates to, like, there's a lot of auto industry businesses. So you'll find like a lot of scrap cars or just neglect from the business owners in the area, and residents have been working with city officials to address that. And it seems like the Greenway is helping to alleviate some of those issues. There's also folks in the area who grew up there who are looking to open up their own business. It's going to be like a community hub, a space for folks to gather, you know, urban gardens, things of that nature, to really bring some of that community togetherness that used to exist in the neighborhood back to the space. And the Greenway also helps to, I guess, uplift that. So yeah, in a sense, it's bringing opportunities to the residents. But at the same time, it's like, why did it take this project for that to happen?
I'm talking with Rakia Colvin. She's an urban planning graduate student at Wayne State and an environmental journalism fellow at Planet Detroit. She has written a piece for Detour Detroit last month titled The Joe Louis Greenway Could Transform Detroit. What about the neighborhoods around it? We're talking about the ways in which this Greenway project, which really is about connecting the green spaces here in Detroit, making more of a network out of them. We're talking about what kind of effect that's going to have on the neighborhoods that surround the Greenway. What will What will that look like for residents in these neighborhoods? What will it look like for residents in neighborhoods where not many good things happen? And let's be honest, there's a lot of the city where people are just still kind of hanging on and waiting for the tide to turn the way it has in places like downtown or midtown or neighborhoods like Corktown. What effect will the Greenway have on their optimism, on the day-to-day experience they have as Detroiters, on the future? We want to hear from you as well. What do you know about the Joe Louis Greenway, and what are your thoughts about it? What kind of impact do you think it's going to have on the city's neighborhoods? Do you want to see more public infrastructure investments like this? And what are the things you think will improve neighborhoods and mitigate problems associated with things like climate change? Part of the idea of this Greenway, of course, is to make better use of some of the infrastructure, make better use of the land here in Detroit. As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to the WDET Facebook page, put comments there, or go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we'll work you into the conversation. Rakia, before we get to listeners, I want to talk about the bad reputation that public infrastructure projects have here in Detroit. There are a lot of things that have been done to us as Detroiters, is probably the best way to put that. When we think about the creation of the highways, for instance, in the city, that's infrastructure that destroyed neighborhoods. So I wonder what you make of how residents are viewing this idea of the Greenway. Are they initially skeptical of the idea that something like this could be good for them? Or are they sort of answering the call as people in the Old West Side, as you were talking about, seem to be doing, and kind of organizing around this project and figuring out how to build community out of it?
Absolutely. So I think it's a combination of both things. So people are most definitely skeptical. One, because, the process here is not as democratic as we would like it to be. Like when folks show up at the meetings to participate in feedback regarding major projects in the city, you have to question whether that feedback is truly being valued and applied to the project at hand. And also you have some neighborhoods that just don't have as strong of a presence to really make their voices heard at these meetings, mm-hmm. Or maybe they just don't have the information to do that. But luckily for the Old West Side neighborhood, like I said, they have a lot of legacy residents there who care about the integrity of the neighborhood that still exists despite all of the divestment that has happened. So they had that leverage to make their voice heard. And yes, with the Joe Louis Greenway project, they have their advisory council, which is how Lucien Long was involved in this project, one of the folks that I spoke to for his story, who's a legacy resident. But not every area in the city has that. So when you think about one project over another, they don't weigh the same. So you have to think about that in terms of how the city is handling this sort of process when it comes to truly making things democratic.
Yeah. As always, again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. Let's start with Springer in Detroit. Springer, what's on your mind?
Hi. I'm calling because I think the Joe Louis Greenway is an incredible opportunity for not just recreation and health, but also bicycle transportation to get from point A to point B on a bicycle. Saves money, keeps you healthy, and it gets you where you need to go door to door without waiting.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and I think also programming to make more bicycles available to people who need them is a potential important element related to it.
Yeah, Springer, I absolutely agree. And you know, as somebody who enjoys biking and enjoys getting around on a bike when I can, I can really relate to what you're talking about, Rakia. You know, the relationship between the things that are changing in Detroit and bike culture is a little more complicated than it might be in other cities because, again, of history here and things like that. There are a lot of people who believe that all this attention to biking and bike lanes and connecting things so that we can bike is aimed at non-Detroiters, that it's for people mm-hmm. who don't live here. Of course, if you live in the city and in neighborhoods, I also think you know that there are lots of Detroiters who are really into bikes. I mean, the neighborhood where I am from, over near Livernois in Grand River, is home to one of the largest bike clubs in the city. They're not just out riding together; they're building bikes for kids in the neighborhood. And I mean, it's a really active part of the neighborhood. But talk about how the Greenway is approaching biking and approaching this kind of sensitive subject of whom the bikes are for and the bike lanes are for, and making it clear, or trying to make it clear, that this is for Detroiters too.
Yeah, it's a tough one. And one for me, I am all for biking and just more transit in general, more public transit. I think it's really important when you think about the overall infrastructure and working toward climate justice and addressing climate change and all of these really important things. But when it comes to Detroiters, I don't know. I guess the skepticism, I don't really know how it stems. And I can see that there are good intentions with the Greenway in promoting more bike usage. But yes, I feel like right now it's targeted toward suburbanites or just people in general who are not from the area. One, because, well, you have to think about, okay, let's say we have this Greenway and you want to encourage more Detroiters to use, you know, this bike space. Well, you have to think about how they will be using this and where they will be biking to. Like, most of Detroiters, outside of like fast food restaurants and the quality of jobs here that just doesn't pay enough for Detroiters, they have to, most folks here have to go to other cities for employment, right? So how does this bike space really encourage things from an economic standpoint?
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge part of it for Detroiters. And then you have to think about the connection to other transit systems, because yes, we have this, or we're working towards this, I can't remember, I think it's like 7.5 miles with the Greenway is going to be, but you're going to have this major bike space for all of the city to use. But you have to think about its connectivity to other things, like jobs and also transit. And I know we have issues with our public transit right now in terms of like them cutting their staff and just the overall quality of our both regional and local bus system. So just those two things alone, I feel like, are discouraging folks in the city from being super excited about this bike space. And yes, it's great for some areas, but not in all. And then you also have to think about the other resources that are available, like food, for example, grocery stores. So
When
you don't have those things in place, it's kind of hard to be that excited about biking, because, like, where am I biking to?
Right. Again, Springer, appreciate the call and the comments. Let's go next to Kelly on the east side. Kelly.
Hi there, Stephen. Thanks for taking the call. Mm-hmm. I, this morning, had to once again call Eagle to report the air quality here on the east side due to the FCA plant. So if the FCA plant is continuing to spill out volatile organic compounds into the air that make it difficult to breathe or make the air quality bad, and I don't even want to work in my garden a lot of times, why am I going to want to ride a bike all over the area if I'm inhaling VOCs that our own, you know, mayor said it was okay that they spew out in our city instead of Warren?
Hmm. Kelly, that's a great question. And I know a lot of folks who live over near that plant and the expansion of that plant who are not terribly happy with what's going on over there. Of course, the argument when the city agreed to do that is that it would create jobs and economic activity in the city, and that outweighed the concerns that that some people in the community had. Rakia, I wonder what you make of this kind of tension around, again, infrastructure. As Kelly's pointing out, the city's development plans in this case kind of conflict with the idea of being outside and enjoying the outdoors and green spaces. I imagine that that's something that's maybe coming up in different areas of the city as well.
Oh, for sure. And I'm so happy that Kelly raised the issue of what's going around of the Stellantis plant with the air quality and residents not being happy. I actually reported a little bit about that in another story. But yeah, that's another example of like, okay, we have these bike lanes, we have this space for biking, but what is the point of me using this space if we still have these air quality issues going on? And this is making me think about the comment I made earlier about the need for jobs in the city, but you also have to think about what type of jobs are being offered that, you know, correlates with them encouraging more bike usage and public transit usage. But I think we need to work towards, and I don't have like a more definite example of this, but we need to work toward more sustainable jobs as well. And yes, you have this plant creating more of these jobs, but it's just really sustainable for people if you still have these air quality issues going on and health issues happening. So it's a contradiction there. And it's a little unfair, especially from what I'm seeing and hearing from residents, to throw in people's faces like, oh, we're offering jobs, so that should be good enough. But it's like, well, you're also killing us. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Rakia Colvin, it was really great to have you here to talk about the Joe Louis Greenway and the neighborhoods that will be affected by it. Thanks so much for joining us on Detroit Today.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how Michigan infrastructure projects can mitigate things like inequality. Paul Adjaba, who's director of the Michigan Department of Transportation, will join us, as will John Kramer, president of OHM Advisors. We also want to continue to hear from you on the phones. What role do you think infrastructure and green spaces play in the narrative about inequality? What role do they play in the way that we live and play in neighborhoods here in Detroit and all around the metro area? As always, 313-577-1019 is the number on the phones. You can also go to Facebook and Twitter, put comments there, and we'll work you into the conversation that way. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.